I entitled my message this week, and I got this title from a pastor friend of mine when I was reading the scriptures and thinking about what I wanted to pray for. The lectionary was talking about Matthew chapter 23. Red Bear, who was a Methodist pastor that started a website many years ago, and I was looking at his stuff, and he had his title for this particular subject. Not his sermon, but I liked his title, Confronting Hypocrisy with Humility. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. I don't know if any of you know this. West Virginia, Pennsylvania is close. West Virginia's probably got some special things. They don't have a baseball team, though, I don't think, yet, do they? Anyhow, being from Pennsylvania, I was early on a rabid Philadelphia Phillies fan. Now, they never won anything, but growing up, my grandfather was, on my mom's side, was a diehard Phillies fan. Now, he didn't have a radio in his home, but he did have one in his car. So I would go with him, and we would go out in the car and listen to Philadelphia Philly baseball. And he was a very faithful Phillies fan, even though they didn't win too much. It's only been in recent years that they even won a World Series, and it was like one of those miracles. But I say all that because this past week I was telling Judy that the Phillies are in the playoffs. Now, I'm going to watch the World Series if they win the playoffs. Well, they lost. But the Texas Rangers did win the World Series, and I'm happy for them. But so I didn't watch the World Series this time because my Phillies weren't there. So all of Philadelphia, though, mourned when they lost in the playoffs. They were known as the Fighting Phils, and they failed to win the last two games of the playoffs, forfeiting their chance for the World Series. Philadelphia fans are very passionate about things, and I think most people know. They put themselves out there because they love their team. That's the biggest reason. And when the teams from out of state come to Philadelphia, they experience a kind of culture shock in more ways than one. If you've ever been to Philadelphia in recent years, most of Philadelphia is a slum, whatever. But the family, the Phillies fans are still there, and they are just adamant about their teams. And when visiting teams come, they realize that there's such a bond with the Philadelphia Phillies team in the way that nobody else has ever seen before. The team understands. The current Phillies team and their family, fans are like soul brothers. And it's a tight bond. It's almost as if every player had 100,000 dotted parents and siblings cheering them. You know, like the Little League games, and the fans are just passionate about their team. They try to lift them up when they're down. That's a good thing. They push them when they're lax. They celebrate their wins. But no matter what, they continue to support them and love them just the same. Phillies fans may be passionate, even compassionate, but they're definitely not fickle. So what's that got to do with Matthew 23? Our scripture today shows Jesus as one more of his passionate rants. Anyone wanting to imagine Jesus, we talked about imagine, use your imagination when you're studying scripture and you want to, you know, put yourself right in there. But anybody wanting to imagine Jesus as meek and milquetoast has probably not read the scriptures. Jesus was passionate about God's mission that he was called to. His prophetic voice could sound loving to those who were mistreated or even ill. But those who he felt were abusing God's name, he was downright insulting and loud. One thing that we know about Jesus, he didn't mince his words. If he was angry, you knew it. So in our scripture today, he's very passionate and compassionate and angry. His anger is directed at the powers to be, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who feel about abusing their power. He was passionate about what they were doing. But interestingly enough, Jesus tells the crowd and his disciples, whom he's teaching, that they should follow the teaching of the Pharisees and the scribes. Follow that religious teaching? Jesus finds nothing wrong with what they teach or preach. They are learned men. They know Judaism, the scriptures, and the laws of Moses. And Jesus knows that they sit on Moses' seat, meaning they've been trained to be teachers and preachers of the Mosaic law. So he follows that advice with another statement. He said, but do not do as they do, for they do not practice what they preach. He calls them hypocrites, and rightly so. Those who say one thing and do another. And then Jesus goes on a rant like a rabid Phillies fan. He berates them for the way they treat others. He berates them for not actually helping others in their faith or to improve their lot. He berates them for loving the power status and their titles and their deeds. Oh, look what I've done last week. But he berates them for their lack of humility, lack of servant leadership, lack of compassion. And he berates them for locking people out of heaven. I thought that was an interesting commentary that I read, one of the commentaries that said that he berates them for locking people out of heaven by showing them wrong ways to behave towards others, for teaching a bias towards their actions, and by leading with a false example. You know, we always say the best leaders lead by example. So he berates them for leading people astray and guiding them to betray God with unloving actions towards others. And he berates them, calling them blind guides who are swayed by money and the opulence of the temple. What a beautiful place that we have no worship in. It's so wonderful. He berates them for showing off with their tithes and their gifts to the public and yet neglecting justice and mercy and faith. And he berates them for teaching but not acting, adhering to superficial laws but not loving. I was thinking about titles too as I was looking things and how they love their titles and they love to show what they do. And whenever we get consecrated by the bishop, we allow to assume the title of reverend. And of course, I came into ministry late in life, and I had a little different perspective on that, because as I looked around the faith community, there was a lot of people that called themselves reverend that I didn't want nothing to do with because their actions didn't line up. And I considered myself to be the under-shepherd of the one who called me into the ministry. So I said, it's okay to be a pastor. And if I have to use reverend as an official thing, sometimes you do when you sign documents for the conference. But I didn't want to be a reverend. I wanted to be a pastor. And I hope and pray that my actions represent really what my passion is about helping people with their faith. But Jesus is passionate about God's mission, about God's people, and about practicing love, mercy, justice in everyday life. He's passionate about living out the faith in real compassionate ways, but nothing is giving to the whole self in the service of, look at me, look what I do. And he doesn't hold back criticizing the Pharisees and the scribes. And he gives it to him with full force, all the passion and anger that is within him. Because he and God are one. God loves the people. All love the people, and so does Jesus. Like I say, God doesn't create evil, but he allows it to happen in this free will world that we live in. That's why I like about him in the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from the evil one, because we know the God of this world is Satan. And he's the one that creates evil. But Jesus sees the way that these teachers and enforcers of Jewish law are acting, especially about themselves. They keep themselves apart from other people. They have no compassion for the ill, the weak, the poor, or even the foreigner. That's my southern accent, foreigner. They know the law, but they don't show love. And they aren't interested in taking the time to get down and dirty on the field in order to practice justice and mercy in their own personal life. They just, I'm a cut above here. Their hearts aren't stirred by faith. They aren't enticed with a starry eye, a fascination with themselves, their power, their status, their money, their titles. So Jesus lets them have it. No holds barred advocate of Judaism, of God and love and faith. But he is no friend to the institutionalism, that is a word, and hypocrisy that's engaged in Jerusalem at the time that Jesus was here, especially at the temple. Why is he so seriously laying it into the Pharisees and the scribes? Because Jesus is passionate about God, because he is God. He's passionate about faith and passionate about people that he created. And he still holds out hope. There you go. That thing, hope, still holds hope that he can get through to them. Jesus taught and preached everywhere throughout the known region at the time. He taught in his home. He taught by the sea. He taught up on the hillside. If you remember the Sermon on the Mount, the docks, even in the boats. He also taught and debated in the synagogue. Jesus did not come only to save one special group of people. In fact, this is Jesus' whole point in his rant about the Pharisees, who were teaching people with their actions to be biased, to hate, to look past some others and reveal others. He came to save both the poor and the rich, the downtrodden, and those with status, the tradesman and the landowner and the fisherman and the priest or Pharisee. In fact, Jesus cried out over Jerusalem. In fact, he wept. He was passionate. He lamented over his inability to move and sway these people to a power of repentance. Wow. You know, you look around and you see what's going on in the world, and the scriptures talk a lot about, in the book of Revelation especially, but other places, about the spirit of Antichrist. Now, this is Ralphie, and you can take it for what it's worth, but I'm looking about what's going on in the Middle East and even in our own country a little bit. There's a spirit of Antichrist that is alive and well. Now, Jesus was the Christ. He was the Messiah. He was also Jewish. So as you look at Jesus and you see the things that he wants to do, the people in the Middle East aren't doing what Jesus taught. That's, to me, a spirit of Antichrist. I digress. Jesus is passionate about his gospel, the good news that he was carrying. And when God shows love and mercy and justice to all people, all means all, God does not need for us to judge them, to decide who or isn't worthy, or shut out some people for the proclamation of the gospel, or separate ourselves from them because we think somehow we're better. God means for us to love everybody. I grew up in Pennsylvania, and we did a lot of trout fishing in Pennsylvania. It was really good. And one of the baits that we used was corn. Not everybody used corn. Other baits to fly fishers and all that. So a couple of days before the season opened, we'd go down to where we were going to fish, and we would chum with corn, get the trout used to eating corn. And then when trout season come, put a little piece of corn on the hook, and boom, boom. And to me, that's what we do as people of God. We chum. We show love and compassion everywhere we go. Are we perfect about it? Absolutely not. Travis is planting seeds like you can't imagine with many people, not only Stanley. He's a saint. Yeah, special on All Saints Sunday. But Jesus replied to them with the Shema, and the Shema is simply a Hebrew word that means hear. He said, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. Love God first, as neighbors, as yourself. He even told them the story, and we call it the story of the Good Samaritan. Further defining neighbors and every person we come into contact with, even those perhaps especially those that we have decided to despise. You know, it's in our human nature to do that, but we don't have to agree with it. We don't have to accept it. We can love, but we don't have to like what people do, but we can still love them. I always say that we can agree to disagree, but still love. That's hard, but that's what we got to do as people. And if you don't do that, you become just as miserable as they are. So, Jesus is passionate about God's people, and he's passionate about love.